Bronwyn Bruton first learned about Eritrea when she worked as a human rights advocate. On the Washington, D.C. staff of the National Endowment for Democracy, she trained journalists, funded the formation of Eritrean political opposition to the ruling Eritrean People's Liberation Front, and she helped Eritrean journalists fleeing persecution.
The economic situation in Eritrea is very poor. Eritrea is isolated. It hasn't had a lot of economic development opportunities. And so it's hard for people to make a living. And because there's a perception of political persecution in Eritrea, Europe, for example, has an automatic asylum policy, which means that anyone who's Eritrean can get benefits in Europe. And that, in a sense, has been a pull factor, too. So that while on the one hand, there's no doubt that there are people who are fleeing Eritrea for very valid reasons of political persecution, there's also a certain number of people who are leaving Eritrea because they have a feeling that they can have a better life and better prospects in Europe.
When she moved to the Atlantic Council, where she is deputy director of the Africa Center, Bruton continued to follow the plight of Eritrea's migrants.
What happens in reality to these poor people who go over the border and who try their luck trying to get across the Sinai or trying to get across the Mediterranean, their fates are horrific. There are human traffickers. There are rumors about people harvesting organs from these poor souls. I mean, the reality is brutal and horrible.
Much of the criticism of Eritrea's government is valid, she says, from indeterminate national service to human rights abuses and the jailing of journalists. But Bruton says her earlier experience with Eritrea did not give her a complete picture of the nation. Along with some European countries, she is taking another look at Eritrea and at the blanket asylum for Eritrea's refugees.
For a while, Denmark, for example, was receiving 10 Eritreans per month. Then in the middle of last year, it skyrocketed to 514 people in last July. So when all of a sudden these European countries are being inundated with Eritreans, they have sort of an interest, political and economic interest, in stopping that flow.
Norway, the United Kingdom, and other European countries are debating their asylum policies for Eritrea. Bruton says she wants a more complete picture of Eritrea and its leadership. Bruton is one of few scholars and researchers who have visited the capital recently. She and an academic colleague met for 3 hours with President Isaias Afwerki and later with members of his inner circle of advisors.
They're doing their best to reach out to Europe to demonstrate that the narrative of human rights abuses on Eritrea is false. They're trying to repair relations. They're working very hard on health and social service programs. They're doing a lot of infrastructure work. They're courting international investors.
Bruton says Mr. Isaias and his advisors told her they are courting foreign investors. They want to speed up much-needed development, and they worry about losing so many talented Eritreans to Europe.
I heard again and again and again a sense of true frustration about the brain drain that they were experiencing, the fact that they were trying really hard, for example, to have a successful education system, but they didn't have good teachers. And every time they got a good teacher, the person would be gone a year later because they would have gone to Europe. And so I think that there's a realization now that the situation is not sustainable. I also think that there are Western investors inside Eritrea that are putting a lot of pressure on the government. For example, they need workers in the mining sector. And these Western companies don't want to touch slave labor with a 25-foot pole. And they've made it really clear to the government.
Bruton is not yet convinced that significant changes will take place in Eritrea. And as of the moment, nothing is certain about the asylum prospects in Europe for many Eritreans. They will continue to follow a trail to Europe filled with grave mortal risk. This is David Arnold reporting from Washington, D.C.